Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
It's a delight to chat with you. The snow is still just about here outside. Have you still got things over your way?
Yeah, I don't know whether we will have by Wednesday morning, but certainly here Tuesday afternoon. Oh, sorry, I've just given the game away now.
Every week,
it's actually raining at the moment, which isn't very nice, but that snow was gorgeous, wasn't it? What a beautiful yesterday. Went for a lovely walk along the canal, and it was like Narnia. It was so gorgeous, and the canal was frozen, the ducks were skating on the ice, the Canada geese were there, the swans were there. Beautiful.
When you say skating on the ice, there's always that wonderful moment when a duck is on the side of the river and they jump in without having any knowledge whatsoever that the river's frozen, and they can sort of hit the ice and then slide across it unknowingly. They're like, what's going on? So it's wonderful. And it was lovely this Sunday, wasn't it? I certainly enjoyed being down at the church and seeing the snow outside.
Yes.
And realizing just how cold it was outside, but how lovely and warm it was in the church, and how lovely and warm it will have been for everyone watching along at home. So
we had an interesting thing on the car park though when I arrived. I noticed, because it had been snowing, very cleverly had done a rainbow and the letters NHS on it, on the car park. It looked like they'd done it in their car, which was very clever. But
old people were let out of the asylum to do it, weren't they? Hi, Mum and Dad.
Oh, is it your Mum and Dad, Tom? Well, thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Watts for a very creative rainbow on our car park on Sunday morning. It did look amazing. So thank you.
And it was still there on Sunday. So that was also lovely.
Yeah. And it's great, isn't it? I love the thought. I'm really enjoying doing it live now, just knowing that, well, trusting that people are on the other side of the camera now at the same time.
Yeah, I do hope you're not all turning. I hope you're not all just turning it on and then going off and doing things just to help us feel good.
But just knowing that people are there is lovely, and that they are potentially listening in real time again, rather than recording it a couple of days before. It is a lovely thought, actually, and just to imagine everybody sat very cosily in their pyjamas with their duvets, cup of coffee, knitting, and everything else. It's brilliant. So thank you so much for connecting. It's a great habit, isn't it, Sunday attendance? I mean, it's something I've been so used to. I mean, from being, you know, a kid, I don't think I've missed many Sundays in my life, to be honest. And certainly when I was a kid and we went on holiday, my dad would drag us all to a local church, and lots of our holidays were in Cornwall. And so there would be about 12 of us on holiday together, my brothers, and as we got older, wives and grandkids and stuff. And we would turn up at the local church and triple the congregation, which was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So
We once went down to Suffolk on holiday and we had the same thing, except this church normally had, I think there was normally an attendance of about 10 people, but there was a family who were away and there were 5 people when we went in. And of course, what happens when you have 16, I think there were 16 of us who all bundled in, the delight on people's faces. Yeah. And I will be honest, and any of my family who are listening will never forget the sermon from that day, because... Well, it wasn't exactly what you'd call a traditional or memorable for the right reasons sermon, but he tried. And it was all to do with oxymorons, and that's what we remembered, rather than any aspect of the talk. It was just his completely terrible oxymorons. However, you get those most incredible things, don't you?
Yeah, when definitely.
You know that actually for that morning, you have quadrupled their numbers. And I won't forget my granddad standing up at the end of the service to thank those that were there for everything they're doing, for being open, for the message, for them continuing to do God's work in the town that we were on holiday in. And it was just lovely. It really was.
It's an amazing thought, isn't it, that you can go literally anywhere, you know, in the UK and you'll find a church somewhere. You know, we were, you know, brought up in the Salvation Army, so we would always find probably a Methodist church if we could. And because that was like the closest, and there was usually, because we would holiday in Cornwall a lot, There was usually Methodist churches in every little village. You know, we would holiday in Port Isaac, you know, where Doc Martin is filmed. What a beautiful place that is. And there was a Methodist church there we would always go to. So, yeah, really amazing. And that does, yeah, it's very humbling, isn't it, to know that there are congregations on a Sunday morning meeting all around the UK and, of course, all around the world. But just doing the same things as we're doing, faithfully doing it. And just, yeah, making sure that, you know, people are worshipping, have the opportunity to worship, and that God's word is being spoken, even if it's memorable for the wrong reasons.
But this is part of the joy, though. Yeah. And there doesn't feel like there's been many joyful moments in the last 12 months. But part of the joy for me is just being able to see what other churches are doing and see these stories of great things that are coming out of them. Whether it's the big churches who are putting on incredible Christmas performances. If you've not watched Holy Trinity Brompton's Alternative Christmas Carols, then go and watch them. I don't care that it's January. It's snowing outside, so you're fine. It was just the most fantastic thing. And then you see what smaller churches are able to do. And I guess I include us in that kind of... We're smaller than Holy Trinity Brompton. We're larger than a lot of other churches. But it is remarkable to see what churches have done and how churches have adapted to going online. And part of that has been the regular meetings that we have with other church leaders. They've all gone online as well. And just yesterday morning, on Tuesday, there was a North Staffordshire leaders meeting run under the banner of Connect, and it brings together people from all across Stoke-on-Trent, Staffordshire, and Newcastle-under-Lyme. A couple of people from Birmingham came along to share things, and it's just wonderful to be able to chat with and see all these other people who are ministering in their own unique circumstances all across our region. And as part of it, I had a great time praying with a minister from Trentham, Adrian, and we talked about the challenges of church life. But then also we were able to really thank God for the blessings we're seeing, whether people are back in person yet or whether people are still doing things online. And it's just wonderful to hear all of these stories of things that are going on. And one of the things that came out of this morning, which many of you may have seen, was someone who's involved with the production of the Answered Wall of Prayer that is currently in the planning processes and is due to be installed next year in Coles Hill, just off the M6. And it's going to be a 51.5 metres high structure, and it's going to create a Mobius band, is it? Basically an infinite loop where it never ends, it doesn't have a start and finish, it twists halfway around so that it constantly spins. And the idea is that they're going to have 1 million answered prayers kind of inscribed around this infinite loop. And it's going to be incredible. To put some perspective, 51.5 metres is twice as tall as the Angel of the North. And if you've ever gone up north, you can see the Angel of the North for quite a distance. So given it's twice as big as that, this is going to be the most incredible structure to drive past as you go up and down the M6 just past Birmingham. And so it was wonderful to hear of these things that, you know, whilst lots of things have been cancelled because of the pandemic, some of these things have been able to sort of happen because there's been a slowing down of other things. The land was given to them because it wasn't making any money for the farmer. So I think that's how it goes anyway. The whole story is online. But it's like you see just all these things, and they've been able to spend time looking at this because other projects have been put on hold. And yeah, just it's fascinating to see the various ways that churches have been doing new things. And obviously finding new ways to reach out to people.
There's a lot of energy, isn't there, in the church, I think, at the moment. And I think we should be really encouraged that, you know, some of that has come renewed energy because of the circumstances we found ourselves in, that we, you know, churches have had to innovate. You know, when crisis comes, innovation always rises to the top. And so that's happened. And I think that's really encouraging. And the challenge is that when all this is over, that sense of innovation doesn't stop, because, you know, that there's a population to reach, isn't there, you know, with the good news of Jesus. And we've got to continue to find new ways to do that in a language that people understand and actually be part of this ongoing journey for people as well. So it is great to see when that's happened. You know, like us, many churches were pushed online, maybe a little quicker than we thought we would be, but we're there now in that space, and many other churches are filling that space as well and finding the benefits of it, as well as the downside, of course. But it's great to know that there are many different people connecting in with us online who have never been to our church in person and may never come in person, but actually are able to feel part of something that's going on as well. And we're really encouraged to get feedback from those people as well quite regularly. So thank you, church. Thank you, NBC, for supporting all that's gone on and encouraging us as that has happened as well. And this is one of the great things of church, isn't it? You know, as I said, you know, I've been linked to the church all my life, but I think this is a good time for the church, you know, to be alive and still relevant into our community as well. Of course, last week was the week of prayer for Christian unity, which sort of culminated on the Newcastle Church's service of unity on Sunday night on YouTube. If you haven't seen it yet, please do catch up just on St Giles Newcastle YouTube page. But yeah, it's good to know that, you know, there are many, many churches doing good stuff. And I'm always enriched when we meet as ministers as well, and to just sense that purpose that we have together of making a difference to our community. The church is an amazing thing, isn't it? And the New Testament, you know, has lots of different images of the church, doesn't it? And you know, there's lots of, you know, when it talks about the body of Christ, it talks about the temple, it talks about family. You know, there's a lot of different images.
But what's funny about that is I'm reminded, and I suppose there have been times in my life when I've sort of had to live this out. In the Bible, the church is always a reference to people. It's never a reference to a place. It's not like they talk about all the people went to the Church of Galilee or whatever. You know, it's actually the people who were there. So I guess this is what we've seen, isn't it? And I thinking back to, let's say, March and April last year, there was a lot of uncertainty, and we weren't really sure how people were going to respond. And clearly over this time, everyone's had different responses. And there have been people in our church who've been desperate to be in the building, and there have been people in the church that for them, this has been the most welcome break they would have, because actually they just needed a little bit of a rest from coming on a Sunday morning and having to drag their family out, who inevitably don't want to be there, or they've put on trousers on their head and that's how they're going to church. Today and all sorts of different things. And actually we've been reminded that the church is a people. We are the church, and yes, let's not kid ourselves, it's lovely for us to be back filming inside our church building. It makes it quite easy. It's a lot easier than it was when we were putting things together. I'm very grateful for it, but actually that's sort of, I think we've shown over the last 12 months that it is about the people who are there. And it's about the body of believers who are wanting to live out the gospel, who are wanting to live out Jesus and all that he did and told us to do through our words and our actions and our interactions with other people. And I suppose we've seen some of these incredible moments, and there have been a number of highlights over the last 12 months for me. I personally loved Chris Stingle this year. It was very different, but I loved our Chris Stingle and online activity, and it was amazing seeing people come down to pick up various different things from the church, your oranges, your sweets and all sorts. And when you see so many faces pop up on the screen and you just are able to see everyone, you realise actually we are the collective church at this point. And there were people on the screen there who wouldn't normally come to our church. And that's one of the things that has been fantastic through this period of time as well, to be able to engage with other people, to engage with churches. When I receive text messages on a Sunday morning from people who do not come to our church, just saying, oh, I love the kids thing this morning. And I'm like, okay, fine, fantastic, lovely. Didn't know you were watching. Not that it would change anything we did, but it's just a really reassuring thing to realise that it often doesn't feel like it, but right now we have an opportunity to reach even more people than we have before. And so much of that, it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from me and you, Tim. It certainly doesn't come from any one particular thing. It's the whole collective community of people who are still being the church in their area, who are picking up things for other people, who are calling up people, who are arranging a Zoom call to see how people are doing, just regular check-ins with people, finding out how people are, supporting them when they're unwell. When people have kind of maybe tested positive for COVID, sending just a message of support to them. It is amazing to see the church actually possibly being forced into action, to see people having to live out church in their own way. It's just been, there've been moments when it has been absolutely wonderful. And that comes with difficult times as well. There've been times when I think both me and you have struggled over this period of time. And there's been moments when I know, so I can say for me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Tim, but for me, there's been real low points. And there's been times when I've just thought, I have got no idea what I'm doing right now. And I don't know what we're doing is reaching anyone, or if I'm sort of just blindly doing my own thing when I'm not pursuing what needs to be done. And I guess when we were in church, if you're in the traditional sense of a church building on Sunday morning, there's lots of people who could tell you about it, but perhaps people shy away. But then, as you said, what we get, I found when we sort of get to that low point, we seem to get a comment or something that comes back to us from someone saying, I passed this on to my friend and they were really touched by what was done. Or, you know, I invited so-and-so to come to church today with me and it was great. Mm. And, you know, we saw that with the candlelit service this year. It was amazing just watching people comment, thank you, seeing comments, thank you so-and-so for inviting me along to this wonderful thing. And so when you see that, you realise that the aspects of church that are so appealing to people who are Christians, they can continue right now, and they are, and it's exciting to see it. And like I said, it comes back to seeing all these other ministers from that area. This morning, not one of them looked downhearted or dejected or fed up, because actually I think we're all seeing these little pockets of excitement, and we're seeing real things happen in our area. We're seeing God just have little moments of shining through in dark positions, dark places. And for me, it's always, I'm surprised. I'm often surprised, I think that's the right phrase, at how God is moving through our church.
And I think it's noticing, isn't it, sometimes when you've been part of church for a long time, it's easy not to notice those things and not to pause and just give God thanks for them as well. You know, that things become ordinary if we're not careful, but actually, you know, God is doing extraordinary things. And that applies, you know, to us as individuals as well. And I think, you know, those moments when we pause to offer thanks to God for his goodness, you know, for the beauty that is around us, for the people who God has put in our path, for those in our past who have encouraged us and built us up and shown Jesus in many ways, and for those who we get the privilege of walking with as well. So I think it is that sense of thankfulness that, you know, can flow from us, and that impacts people's lives, you know, very much so. I know, you know, I know there is challenge, and I know, you know, there's challenge to faith, you know, that there's someone I spoke to yesterday, you know, is facing some challenges with their family in terms of their own faith. And those things are very real as well. But I think we take the reassurance that God is doing things, and in his time and for his purposes, he will continue to work them out as well. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, church.
Mm.
Thank you, church.
And I suppose a thing to flip around is, and I know, Tim, you seem to get these quite a lot, but we love hearing your stories. We love hearing about how you're seeing God move in your circumstance, how you're doing church. It was great when back in, was it June time, when you were allowed to meet up with someone else. It was really, I found some of those things wonderful to read when someone would say, oh, I'm going to so-and-so's house for church this morning. And I suppose I was looking at it thinking, well, why on earth would you ever want to come back into the church building if you're able to go and have tea and coffee and watch along in someone's house? And of course, at the moment, that's difficult to do. But many people are watching together. People who are bubbled up are doing it. So please do just be sending things in. We won't share it on the podcast or anything like that unless you say we can. But it's a massive encouragement to both me and Tim. And I guess, yeah, part of what I've said today is that it has been challenging at times, and it still is. And these little things, these little encouragements that come in, that's what they are. They are massive encouragements. Yeah. And I've had an opportune phone call with someone from our church last week who wanted to get hold of you, Tim. I'll be honest. I think they were quite disappointed when I picked up the phone. However, what it led to was the most wonderful conversation with someone explaining about a Bible study that they have been doing with some friends of hers. Good. And she loves coming, being a part of our church, but at the same time, she's seeing this happen. Mm, she's seeing people come to explore the Bible with her and one of her friends as Brilliant. Well. And it's these are stories of the church happening on a very, very local level, even more local than just Clayton, Newcastle under Lyme. Mm. We're seeing it happen in houses and spreading out from there. Wonderful. Yeah,
and it has shown us what is possible. And, you know, Zoom, for all its foibles, is a great tool to just connect with people and just to share life and faith with people along the way as well. And, yeah, so please continue to pray for one another, continue to connect with one another, call one another, whatever it takes, and let's stay as part of the church, united together. And, you know, pray for the other churches in Newcastle as well, won't you? Everybody's working really hard to do the very best they can for their communities. And, you know, the ministers, the leaders are trying to work out, you know, what next. And we're open to what God has in store for us for the future as well. What sort of church we're going to look like as the people of God, committed to him and to the future he's planned for us. Yeah, good. Always encouraging. Thank you.
As we've done for every week of the pandemic, we want to finish today by praying together. And last week we shared about Ezekiel chapter 37 and God breathing life into the dry bones. And our reading for this week continues on from that same passage in Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'd like to read to you from verses 7 to 11 now, as we come to God in prayer. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, when Ezekiel prophesied, a miracle of resurrection took place. The scattered bones were reformed, flesh and sinews supernaturally covered them. Your divine breath infused their corpses with life. Lord, our nations have not just been shattered by COVID. They've been broken economically and are divided religiously, politically and ethnically. Past injustices and hatreds have re-emerged. Many of our communities and cities have become extremely polarised. They have begun demonising those they disagree with as a norm. And Lord, we desperately need you to reform the bones of our nations and restore the sinews of love and affection which once bound us together in unity. Lord, pour out your spirit on our broken, divided nations. Freshly unify our churches so the world can see what is possible in you. Please deal with the bias, prejudice and fear that may be lurking in our hearts, so that we might live as the ambassadors of reconciliation that you have called us to be. Please comfort those who have lost loved ones and strengthen and heal those who are currently battling COVID-19 themselves.
Precious Saviour, many people around the world feel the same as the ancient Israelites did. They feel as if they have been cut off from help and their hope is lost. Yet, even in the midst of such a monstrous catastrophe, there is cause for real, lasting hope. Even if humans fail and their institutions collapse, There is a God who never fails. We believe you are unlocking the hearts of millions through the challenges rocking our world today. Heavenly Father, we come boldly before your throne with this prayer. In the name of Jesus, may the misplaced hopes of billions around the world be restored and renewed as they place their hope in you. Freshly pour out your Spirit upon continents of our world, upon your church. We ask you to save millions of precious souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What a prayer. What a prayer. And let's continue to pray it, that God has even more breath to breathe upon us and upon his world.
And you're looking at that passage, is it next Wednesday evening?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah, in our Ezekiel study.
With our Bible study. So we've prayed over it for the past 2 weeks, but next Wednesday night, in the fourth week of our Bible study going through Ezekiel, Tim is going to be guiding through, I believe, or the book is going
we
to be guiding
together.
Through.
Yeah.
We do
explore
it together.
It's
you explore it as the church family. Yep. That passage is going to be looked at next week. So if you're confused by what on earth we're saying about these dry bones and sinews and breath and everything like that, there you go. Come along next Wednesday evening and join in with our Bible study. And if you want to join a week earlier, then by all means, come along tonight.
Anytime.
Come along for our Wednesday
Bible
study.
You're very, very welcome.
I'm sure it will be a lovely time.
It is.
Well,
the passage for tonight is, wow, it's in your face, I tell you. So definitely worth joining in.
Great.
Brilliant stuff.
And then, of course, I feel like we're in the rhythm of this now. So Alpha, it's still not too late for you to come and join us for Alpha. We've had some inquiries even this week, people wanting to join in. And it's great for us to say, no, it's not too late.
No.
You are still able to come along and join in with our Alpha course for 2021, the start of 2021. And it's a delight, isn't it? It's wonderful to see people coming along and exploring it, exploring what the Bible has to say about various different things. And as we go on, of course, the church. What is the church?
Well,
it's always interesting seeing what the Alpha course has to say about church, because amazingly, everything they say about, because it was all filmed pre-COVID, all of the videos, but what they say is just as relevant now as it was when we could meet in buildings, because it's focusing on who the people are and what they do, not the building or anything like that.
Whew, Tom, keep it going. Preach it.
Yeah, okay. And then Sunday morning, Tim. Sunday morning. Are we getting a sneak preview this week?
It's lovely because
you're doing this Sunday.
Yeah, because we're in the third part of Live Well, and the phrase is be strengthened with all power.
Be strengthened with all power.
Dunamis, in the Greek. Double dunamis. Brilliant.
Double dunamis. I enlighten me what that means.
Power, dynamite.
I don't know Greek.
Power.
Power and dynamite.
Power,
excellent.
Dunamis. Power.
Well, the youth group know a song all about dynamite. It's a Christian song, but I'm not quite sure we'll do it on Sunday. Maybe we'll play it before the service. We've been playing some different songs before the services recently.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Maybe we'll play it before the service.
Anyway.
I think that's it.
Let's go.
We've said enough.
Yeah.
We've said enough. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. Send in anything you want to us. If you want to come and have a chat with us on here,
please
get in touch. We'd love to have other people's voices. I'm sure it's lovely hearing our voices, but some weeks you must be thinking, I'd really like to hear someone else for a change. So get in touch with us. But until next time, whether we see you tonight, Thursday, Sunday, or just next week for another week of our podcast, God bless you. Have a fantastic time. And we'll see you when we see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.